there's a million things that would make a difference in our business. There's a million things that would make a difference in our families. And when and where do we draw the line of enough?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. My guest today has such an interesting background. She's had the pleasure of working with individuals in healthcare over the last 18 years, seniors in nursing homes, small children. And what she says is that she has had the privilege of being able to witness life from the very beginning to the very end. And her observation is this: when adequate resources are available to all of us, the biggest determinant of health becomes our relationship to ourselves. Destiny Spurl is trained as a naturopathic doctor. She is a mother of three. She calls her the CEO of Family Orchestration, and she is the co-founder of Soul Spark Sisterhood. We had a really interesting conversation today because we got to talk about something that is also really important to me and my audience, and that's exploring the connection between purpose and health outcomes, the idea of personal leadership, and the things that we can do as individuals to not only optimize our own health, but our capacity to contribute to the world in a really big way. We got super practical around how to set boundaries in our life, the elements that go into the creation of a perfect day. How do we balance family and career, and how do we connect to ourselves and a strong community of women? It was an enlightening conversation. It was one that was extremely important to me, and it was one that I personally got a lot out of. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Destiny Spurl. Destiny Spurl, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. It's so nice to be with you today.
Well, I am really excited to delve into a conversation on a number of levels. And I know your philosophy in terms of how you approach women on a mission and some of the core ideas that you talk about with women are really similar to my own. So I feel like this is going to be a really exciting discussion related to energy and purpose and really galvanizing that energy that helps us move along in our missions. Can you take us through your journey and your career and your journey as a mother, and like what got you to this place right now where this is a topic that you're so passionate about?
Oh gosh, yeah, it's a long road, right? So I mean, essentially, right in this place right now, I'm a woman, I'm a wife, I'm a mom of three. So that essentially translates to being a CEO of Family Orchestration. I've had the privilege of working with individuals in a variety of healthcare settings. So first in the nursing home setting with the elderly, and then in the context of intensive care and emergency. And subsequently in the field of naturopathic medicine. That path through healthcare and really having that privilege of being with people in those moments of their health journey has highlighted to me something of great significance. And it's definitely true in my life, and you can speak to it too in your own, is, you know, when we have resources available to us, the biggest determinant of our health becomes our relationship to ourselves. And I know starting out, you know, as, you know, young and ambitious, I really identified with the idea that I am capable, I can work hard, I can overcome the obstacles. And as you go along your journey, life gets, I feel, gets bigger, and there's more things. You add partners, you add kids, you add more responsibilities. And if you take that mentality of, I can do this, I can work harder, we, you know, and compare ourselves to the standards that we see around us of what we should be able to do, eventually it so logically leads to one thing: we are burnt out. And I definitely found myself there in this place of just zero energy, wondering, how the heck did I get here? You know, what am I doing? What am I, you know, losing touch with that? Like, what is my spark, right? So yeah, that's kind of, that is really the precipitous behind what I'm doing now, of that really tapping into our physical, our mental, and our soul energy, is how I like to call it.
Okay. I want to delve into that soul energy piece, but I want to back up first, and I want to talk about burnout, because I think this is something that is very real and very real for so many women. And where do I want to go with this? What I feel about the concept of burnout is that there's two different layers to it. There is a privileged layer of burnout, and then there's this sense of like, I don't have a choice, and I don't have an option. Because there are women who are like, I support my whole family, or I am a single mom, and I like the option of stopping and reconnecting, and like, I can't do that because the burden of responsibility that I am carrying is so massive. So I want to speak to those women first. And sometimes that's just a perception, but it's not always just a perception. And I think as practitioners, we have to be really careful. I'm not saying you're doing this. I just mean, like, I also have to tap in. And when we're talking about burnout with patients, like, does this person legitimately have responsibilities that they have to work through? And do I have to be creative around how we manage that burnout with them? How do we deal with burnout there? How do we work with those women and connect them to their soul and their purpose and their being when they can't stop?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a great question. And it can be a tricky one. And there's one way that I really like to come to that. And it's by looking at the balance of our currencies. So I take that from Alex Sharfin. I think you're familiar with him. Mm-hmm. He talks about our five currencies, and let me see if I can remember them all. But essentially, there's the obvious ones, like our money and our time, our energy, absolutely, focus, and the last one is effort. And sometimes we're very focused on, of course, those top three, that money, time, and energy. I think, you know, I'm taking myself on a tangent here, really, but in our day and age, often we feel we have this perception, like we bear this burden. We do have to, do it and take it on ourselves. And we've really traded in our community and our interconnectedness and our working together and that sort of tribal mentality for this, what we strive for, of this individual autonomy and control. And so I think when we step back and we look at, okay, we all have these currencies, they're taxed in different ways, but do we really need to, like, can we ask for help? Are there ways that we can network, and are there ways that we can really resource the things in our community? The tricky part is when we're in that place, when we're in that burn and we feel like those responsibilities are so heavy, carving the time to sit back and look at that and to plan and to resource and strategize can be tough. It can be tough when you're right in that. I think there's always those balance of resources and creative ways that we can connect with our community and the resources at large.
Yeah, I love what you said there too about asking for help, because I often find that for any of us, when we get caught in the, I have to do this, I cannot stop, we do become quite autonomous and we do put up these walls and our head goes down and we just kind of plow through.
It's super hard.
But I think we can all ask for help. And I think we suck at it sometimes as women. We just don't do it.
We do. And I think that's something that it's a huge thing, is that we feel like we should be able to, right? We feel like, you know, we have these responsibilities and we should be able to manage them, or they're too big, but we don't want to burden someone else with them. And I think one thing that's stood out to me, I have the privilege of having a circle of women who we've met basically monthly, and really just in honoring of the synergy of what comes out of women circling together and explore different topics and different creative ventures and whatnot. And in the one circle that we had, everybody went around and answered the question, what makes them feel alive or energized in their relationships, speaking in the context of friendships. And I'm sitting there with a number of my friends, and friends who, you know, I go to ask for advice, or I confide in, or, you know, if I'm really, one kid's sick, one kid's there, whatever, and I need to call somebody, like these friends, right? And I feel, even now, I feel like I'm taxing these people, I'm taking up their ear time, I'm whatever it may be. And what struck me was the thing that fueled them was to be that person for other people. So, for example, my one friend, she just said, I feel alive when people can come and confide in me what they're going through on their journey, and allow me to hold space and share reflections and walk with them on that. And that's exactly what I appreciate about her. And here on my side, I'm thinking, oh, I'm taxing her, using all her ear time. She's got better things to do. She's tired of hearing this. But really, it's lighting her up. So yeah, we can really get caught up in ourselves, in our heads, and feeling like we don't want to tax other people. We should be able to do this. But we need to help each other. We're there for each other. We're better together. The synergy is bigger together.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And you made this really brief reference there to being in your head. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of us are challenged with, is we're thinking, I don't think she's going to want to do this. I don't think this person wants to do this. And we don't just step in and feel. And I know for you, that's a huge part of what you talk about when you're talking about accessing energy, is like really tapping into the feeling in your body and getting out of your darn head. Like, how do we do that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How do I do that, Destiny?
How do we tap into that? I have so many places that question takes my mind. There's a number of ways that we can dive into that. And there's so many ways that we can really tap into how we're feeling. I like to think about this little image of our head, our heart, and our hands. And if we're to draw ourselves, how big is our head compared to our heart, compared to our hands? You know, what are we thinking? What are we feeling? What are we doing? Where is that balance? One small example of how I've learned to tap into that feeling piece is just through different forms of expression. It's so easy for us in our adult lives to lose to put creativity aside for productivity, to put the being aside for the doing, because we pride those things, right? I've had a beautiful journey through a practice of fluid feminine movement. So essentially being in a space with other women, with nourishing music and meditation, and a lot of free movement and flowing, some guidance. But a good friend of mine, Michelle Sabo, has created what she calls Goddess Flow. So that's basically what I'm describing here. And it's interesting to see how when you dive into something that's expressive, what comes up. You know, you may walk into the room and feel confident that day. And then as you're moving, you might be tucking your head down and curling your body in instead of lifting your heart up and facing the sky. And it just, paying attention to those little feelings. Or let's use shopping as another example.
Let's use shopping as the example.
You know, when you go into a store and you're looking for, let's just say you're looking for a dress, right? And you try on a dress, you're going to this event, and you're like, oh yeah, it works, it's nice, okay, this is reasonable, the price is okay. And then you go ahead and try on another one, you're like, hell no, not that one, definitely not. And then you can convince yourself in your head that that first dress that you tried on works, looks good, it's reasonable price, suits your shape, etc. But there is a big difference between convincing yourself that that is the dress and trying on a dress and saying, hell yes, like this makes me feel like the bomb, right? And it's tuning into and honoring that soft difference. We really love to hold on to these objective things, right? The things that we can see, like the price tag or, you know, as an example, it's just the very objective measures that are tangible to us. And we often, those things make sense in our brain. And it's easy for us to trump the little feelings of, oh, that feels good. Oh, that feels juicy. Oh, that's aligned. Even though I can't rationalize it necessarily in my head, that feels aligned. I feel language is so limited in our expression. You know, we have music, we have movement, we have so many ways of expressing, but for some reason we put so much emphasis on the value of language and our thoughts and our ability to articulate things, right? But those feelings have so much value, so much value.
Yeah, and we're not taught to honor them, and I feel like we're taught at a very young age to there's shame that floats around with those feelings. Even, you know, I watch it happen in the schoolyard where, you know, a little girl's crying and she's feeling this, and you got a parent casually being like, oh, you know what, honey, sometimes you just got to suck it up. Like, you just got to...
You're fine.
Right? Dig deep, get back on the playground. And I find it's very challenging as a parent, too, to really foster a sensitivity for my kids and a space for my kids to be able to express their feelings. And then at the same time, provide them with an opportunity to understand healthy boundaries and their own strength. And like, this parenting thing is really hard. Like, you've got three kids. How do you manage this? How do you navigate this balance between having them connect with their feelings and shutting off the drama of their feelings?
I really love, there's a book that I read once called The Whole Brain Child. I mean, that's one of many things that have informed my parenting and how I approach this topic exactly. I have a beautiful community at the kids' school where they just have a lovely awareness of where the kids are at and how to navigate it too. But in The Whole Brain Child, they use the phrase, name it to tame it. And there is no kid that this works better with than my very, very heart. My second has just a big heart and big feelings and big emotions, and they can last a long time. So
that was really put in such a lovely way.
with him, I find there is any opposition to what he's experiencing or where his mind is, where his body is, where his heart is, makes it bigger. And the only way that I can have him come from where he is and navigate through those feelings is to get right there with him. So let's just say he wanted a toy and someone else took that toy and he is immensely disappointed and wailing loudly. The best thing for me to do is get in there with him, get close, not smother him, but get close and just say, you're so sad right now. You are so disappointed. You wanted that toy, didn't you? And that's the only time that he will respond to me. After I repeat over and over, you wanted that toy. You are disappointed you don't have that toy. And then he'll start to say, yes, right? And you can see like he's softening as I'm acknowledging that for him. And it's not until I do that and get right in there with how he's feeling that I can do anything. I can't speak to his head. He's in his lizard brain, right? And it's that, like, you know, acknowledge, and then we can transition into, okay, so now how can we navigate this? What's going to make us feel better? What can we do from here? Where does our power lie in this situation? What is our leverage? How can we move from here? And as opposed to, oh, you're fine, or distract, or, you know, I think there's really something to naming and honoring the experience of our kids, but if you're upset, Megan, and you go and you talk to your friend and you say, this happened and it was really disappointing to me, do you want them to say you're fine? No. You want them to acknowledge, right? You want them to acknowledge like, oh, that sucks. Like what are you going to do? Where are we going to go with this? Our kids want the same thing.
Well, we all want that. And I think we also don't necessarily want the fixer either.
No. Yes. No.
Sometimes we just need to stand vigilant and hold space for other people.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so interesting talking about parenting and talking about pressures and responsibility and all of these components. And at the end of the day, the thing that I hear most frequently from parents and from entrepreneurs and from people who are just like, I've got so much to give and put out in the world, is that they're tired. And it isn't just, I'm like a little bit tired. They're like, no, I'm like deeply, deeply tired. And the notion of harnessing energy for these types of people is something that I know that you are really passionate. How do you do that? How do you take those really tired people and start to bring them back? What's your process around that?
Mm-hmm. I think we really have to look at our energy in three ways. So we have our physical energy, we have our mental energy, and then we really have our soul energy. So they're each thick topics in and of themselves, but to look at it in those three categories helps us to pull it apart a little bit. So, I mean, we can know what we need to do physically, right? We can resource, okay, so this is nutritionally what will support me in a balance. This is physical activity-wise what will support my energy. And this is how I can work with my circadian rhythm. Those are sort of the key foundational core pieces in the physical realm, right? And having that understanding of how to work with our body can be immensely empowering. That doesn't overshadow by any means working with somebody to uncover if there is any physical, organic physical imbalances or functional physical imbalances like iron, B12, thyroid, etc., all of these other physical things that can cause us fatigue. But on that physical level, we want to make sure those things are in place. And that's not usually the core problem, although tweaks in that area can make a big difference. There's more to it than that. Brain fatigue I'll speak to next, but again, it's not the core. The brain fatigue piece is there is so much that we can do to reduce the mental energy expenditure in our day-to-day. The more that we can systematize having that structure that creates that mental space and freedom, or reduce the number of decisions that we're making in a day, or reduce all of the clutter and noise around us, which is a journey, especially in a busy household, we can really plug those leaks, right? Plug those leaks of our mental energy there. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about entrepreneurs and we're talking about parents, especially entrepreneurial parents, it's bigger than that too. And I think the thing that lies at the root there is, where do we draw our line in the sand? There's so many things that we quote unquote should be doing, right? There's a million things that would make a difference in our business. There's a million things that would make a difference in our families. And when and where do we draw the line of enough, right? And that really takes a clear understanding of our personal metrics. What is at the core of our value and our priorities to us individually, not anything outside of us. It's so easy to look at that other entrepreneur or that other parent or all of the things that we feel like we should be living up to, and not to recognize the value and the influence that we have in our space. And I think the clearer that we get on what we bring to our families and to our businesses, the clearer we can get on what is enough. When have I done enough? Because there's always more. We are really the only ones that can recognize our own bandwidth, our own capacity, or when we've tipped that line into teetering into that exhaustion place. It's tuning into that feeling, that heart, or, you know, recognizing our internal value. I think so many of us can get caught up in this chasing this next course or doing this next thing to better ourselves and looking outside for ways to better ourselves. But each of us have, you know, our own unique experiences and perspectives in the world, and we have our own unique strengths and superpowers, and everything that we need to bring to our families and bring to our businesses at the core is it's there. We just got to notice it. And then we got to respect it. We got to honor it and draw that line of enough. If we have the opportunity to do more, great. But we have to, we really have to define those, what is most important to me and honor it and respect it. And then the rest, when it comes, and when it goes, it goes.
And what are your things? What are your metrics? Like what are the things that you check in on to see where you're at? And I will preface this question for everybody else. These are Destiny's metrics. They're not yours, right?
Absolutely.
And like, I'm going to have my own. And the whole point of this question is really this idea of like, craft it yourself, because at the end of the day, we're building a life. We're not building a living. And as entrepreneurs and people who are conscious enough to want to craft their own journey, we have to keep remembering that. So I'm asking you in the spirit of ideas, what are your metrics, and to get to know you, not because I want everyone listening to be like, oh, those are great, I'm going to take them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, no one else is in your shoes, right? This is your life, your experience. And so no one can define them for you, right? It's really uncovering them for yourself. The first ones that come to mind are, I know that if I'm not home with my, so I have three boys under six, oldest six, youngest one. And I know that for myself, when I am out more than three nights a week, I'm not happy. I want to go through that dinner and bedtime routine with them four nights of the week. I want to be here. I want to be present. That's the time that I want to be with them. And I want to get them off to school. So those things feel really good to me. And if I'm doing that less than more in a week, I don't feel good about it for myself. In a entrepreneurial space, if I can do something, one thing in line with my goal in the realm of business, Monday to Friday, then that's success to me in a week. If I can just keep that forward momentum with doing one thing, big or small, Monday to Friday, in line with the business, that is, I've met my metric. If I can do more, great. But if I've done that, then I'm keeping that momentum, that space. And connection is huge for me. If I'm not connecting with somebody on a deep level, my husband, my girlfriends, at least once a week, getting out on that once a week to connect that way, then my spark fades. So I know that that's super important to me, to get that piece of connection. And I know that I don't feel good when I don't eat well, and that physical activity, those things are sort of built in for me without saying. So for me, two times minimum with a really great workout. If I can get three in there, you know, formal workouts in there in a week, that's my bar for, okay, I feel good when I'm doing three. Two is okay. Three is best.
I love listening to this, because I think one of the things that we do as we move through life is we just keep accumulating standards, as opposed to understanding that, you know, if we're going to raise the bar on one thing, for example, parenting or where your business is, something else has got to come down. There's like a yin and yang energy. And
absolutely.
I find I do this myself, where I'm like, okay, well, and now I used to go to the gym four times a week, so I'm still going to go to the gym four times a week, and I'm going to raise not one kid now, but three kids now. And I don't have one business, I have two businesses. And like, you reach this point, you're like, well, I you know, I've mastered those things, so they have to stay as part of it. But it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't break something down or diminish or find the balance, then that balance will happen for you. But it really won't be on your terms.
Yes, exactly. We can choose it, or it can happen to us, right?
Right. But it's going to happen. As I listened to this, what I also heard you saying, although you didn't say it, but it had to be there, was that you also must have really good boundaries around certain things. And I'm sure we all have areas where there's tremendous permeability to those. But, you know, has working on your boundaries been something that has enabled you to put these ideas into action in your own life?
100%. And I mean, that absolutely comes out of losing them and then needing them and finding them, right? And I think really that point of losing them, well, it's happened in a few different ways all along the journey. But after having my third kid, you know, we were, as a family, my husband works a lot of hours. So he's working somewhere between 50 to 80 hours in a week. And that's a lot. And he's an introvert. So then when he comes home, he needs space.
Right.
So that's part of our dynamic. He was sandwiched for a long time between having three young kids and also caring for his mother, who has since passed. And then my parents are not close physically and just have lives of their own that keep them from being able to be a resource for us. So in terms of those supports, they're not there. So then we are in the situation where we have three young children. I think, okay, I'm going to put a pause on career now so I can be here for family. My husband, his colleagues planned their vacation before him, so he didn't have his vacation. And I really fell under there. And I remember so many days feeling like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, I just need him to come home. And then he would text me on his way home and say, I'm exhausted. I need to go straight to bed. I'm sorry. I can't help you tonight. And I'm thinking, how can I get through this? Right? Nobody can draw the line in the sand for you. Right? Nobody can do that. And so I think going through that experience of just being way beyond what was sustainable for me in my capacity and really peeling back, like, no, what do I need? No one's creating this for me. This isn't happening organically. Nobody is responsible to know this but me. Like, this is my job to figure out what I can do and then to look at my currencies. What do I do? What do I let go of? What do I ask for? Where do I ask for help? You know, that's really where that came from. And I have gotten, you're right. I've gotten immensely clear. But, you know, boundaries, sometimes I feel like the word that I resonate with more, or the idea that I resonate with more, is just when you understand your metrics, when you understand your bandwidth, when you understand your capacity and what you need to keep going, then it's your boundaries are made. You know, it's when you understand those and you know that you function better from that space, then you want to function better and you honor those boundaries, right? They're created for you. It's not something you decide to put up. It's recognizing really what's within your capacity.
Yeah. And I struggled with the word boundary for a really long time. It felt rigid and it felt bitchy and I didn't like it. And then I listened to this and I can't find it now. It must've been some copyright infringement, but I listened to some conversation that Brené Brown was having related to boundaries on YouTube.
Yes.
And she was said, you know, having boundaries in place is the ultimate form of generosity. And I was like, okay, I'm listening. And she's like, because you can't show up authentically when you're constantly having your boundaries pushed by other people and when they're malleable and when you're not clear on them, because you approach every moment of generosity from there on in with this like backpack of resentment.
Yep.
And that's that. I was like, oh, that is so true. And I found that with my patients. I found that with my clients. I found that with my kids. I found that with my husband. And finally, I was just like, bah! And I started to talk about it. And sometimes people would get really irritated by those boundaries. And I was like, I know, but trust me, I'm a better person as a result of it. So I just felt she reframed it in such a great way where I didn't feel like a bitch because I said, I can't do that right now. I actually felt like I was honoring the person in front of me at the same time. And it's obviously how you present it. But it was really important to my evolution to reframe the concept in that way.
And I think how you've described it there too, Megan, is it highlights the difference between, I think I should be able to do this or deliver this. And I know deep down inside me, if I do this, it's overextending and it's unsustainable for me. And I think that's the clarity that if we can cultivate and generate that clarity, then we are equipping ourselves to show up in our lives as our full selves and offer all of our potential, right, to our families and to our business. I'm just flat out bitchy when my boundaries aren't, you know, when I'm not making that space to take care of my metrics. It just does not feel good. And I am not who I want to be to my business and to my family. And they don't have any idea why, right? Like it's not in their awareness. They don't understand why I'm impatient today or whatever the case may be, right?
Totally.
Doing that, you know, bringing that awareness and then honoring it to pieces is really, it does. It is generous and resentment. I think this is also Brené Brown, but I think it's, resentment is a lack of boundaries, or resentment comes out of a lack of boundaries, right? Where there is resentment, there is permeability.
Absolutely. I see that because I'll get an email from somebody and they're checking in on something I was supposed to do. And I'm like, ah, don't they know how much I have going on behind scenes? And I'm like, that's actually my problem. It's not their problem because I said I would do it. And I just think we're all in a better place and we can just start to do that. And that would be my challenge to everyone as a result of this conversation today, is really assess where you probably could have better boundaries and practice authentically sharing those with the people that matter, who need to know that they are actually in existence, your kids, your partner, your boss, whoever it happens to be. And most of the time, once you express those boundaries, it's a bit of a relief to everybody.
Absolutely. And I think the other piece that we can get caught up in is explaining them. And when we let go of that need to explain them and we say, you know, I know that when I don't maintain this boundary, I feel this way. So therefore, I'm going to maintain this boundary. We don't have to explain, I need to keep this boundary because blah, 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 blah. No, it's good enough to know that I can function better from this place. And I know that. So we don't have to explain it away, right? We can stand in it.
Absolutely. There's one thing I know you're really passionate about. Well, I think you're passionate about many things, but one area I know you really like to talk about, and I want to make sure that we tap into it before we move into the second part of the interview, and that is this idea of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this concept so important to the forward momentum of individuals on a mission?
So important. I really like the word resonance or dissonance. And if you know, when we talk about resonance in music, you know, if you play the note A on the piano and you're holding a violin and you have an A string on your violin, the string on your violin is going to vibrate because you've played the A on the piano. That's resonance in the musical sense of the term. So it's that, you know, you're vibrating together. In contrast, when you're listening to music and two notes are played that just make your brain feel like it's electrocuted, that's dissonance in music. And when we are functioning from a place in line with or in resonance with our soul truth and with what makes us simply what makes us feel good in each moment, that's when we're stepping into that resonance. And that resonance is energizing. When we're functioning from a place of dissonance, it's exhausting. And we've all ended up in this situation where we're doing something because we have to, or we should, or whatever the case may be. And it just drains us from our core. Even if we're exercising and eating well and sleeping great and all of those other parameters, you know, we've decluttered our home. But if we are functioning from that place of dissonance with what we're doing and with our soul truth, it's just frankly exhausting from our core. But in contrast, when we can really, you know, purpose can be daunting, but if we just think about purpose as taking small steps in line with what feels right to us, it makes it more tangible, it makes it more simple, and it's really about taking those steps in ways that resonate with us, that are in line with our soul truth. And we know, and I know that you know, as a woman on a mission, and you, Megan, you are clear on your mission. From all that I can see, that just, when you're functioning from that place, it does the opposite. It lights you up from the inside out. You're just so energized, even if you're physically exhausted.
Yeah,
and your house is a mess, right?
That's true too.
That piece just equips you so much to do all the rest of the things that help to optimize your energy. But that core, that resonance on the soul level is so key.
Yeah, I like that. And as you were saying that, I just kept picturing this bucket. And we have these buckets that just have this tendency to just leak, right? The energy bucket. And I feel like purpose is like this extra lining in the bottom of your bucket. So even if your iron is low and your B12 is off or you're on your period, I don't care, whatever's going on, it's like you've just got this extra plastic lining in there that fuels things and prevents things from leaking out as quickly or as disastrously as they could. And you put that in such a beautiful way.
Thank you.
How do you balance your purpose as a mother, as a doctor, as an entrepreneur? Like, where Do you have multiple purposes for each of these things? Do you have one purpose you're serving everywhere and it permeates into those? How do you organize that for yourself?
That's a great and loaded question. How do I balance my purpose in those areas? Yeah, so I think, you know, when we live big lives, we have such a division, you know, as parents, as entrepreneurs, as whatnot. But, you know, to me, it really doesn't feel like I have a division of purpose. My purpose is really to show up in my life, to show up in all of the areas of my life. And so when I talk about, you know, what are my metrics and that journey of, you know, honoring and valuing my thoughts, feelings, and actions, that, you know, doing all of those things is what has me show up in each realm of my life. And if I can help someone else, if I can be a light to someone else to illuminate how, you know, really, if we're nourishing within, if we're loving in, if we're acknowledging our value and our strengths and what we bring to the world from this point, then we can show up in the realms that we're in. I don't know if it's bigger than that. I think it's just that. I think it's as simple as that.
I love it. I love it. What do you want your destiny to be?
My destiny? And it gets to be my destiny?
I meant your legacy.
My legacy?
Destiny! What do you want your legacy to be?
There you go. You know, I think that it's it. If I just, you know, reframe that again, that I really, if my journey can serve as a light to others to really recognize their value within, to tap into their soul truth, and to thus be energized and equipped to show up and be the person that they want to be as a parent, as a entrepreneur, as an individual, as whatever it may be. I think in that loving in, we're really empowered to live out our soul truth and to honor ourselves on that journey.
It's beautiful. And I think by you living that journey, your kids get to see you live that. Your partner gets to see you live that. Like it's a beautiful example to set for your broader and your close-knit community. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. Kind of a perfect place for us to transition to the second part of the interview, which is really where we look at what I call KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have these in our business, I believe that we also have these in our lives as well. So indulge me. I've got a few quick, rapid questions for you. You ready?
Sure.
Amazing.
I'm ready.
Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, ooh, can you share? I know, I'm changing it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so consistent in the fluid sense of the word, right? So the way that I approach routines are key in reducing brain fatigue, first of all. And the way that I approach my routines is I have my ideal routine and then there's a buttload of grace that comes into it. So my evening routine is really all geared towards setting myself up for the next day. I, without fail, need to wind down before bed. I place my full glass of water right next to my toothbrush, so it's right there with the supplements that I need to take right away in the morning, because if I don't wake up, go to the bathroom, and drink that glass of water, I probably won't get a glass of water until middle of the morning. So starting it out, you know, starting it out by setting myself up for success for the next day. I think it's really for me about looking at, it's thinking about the next day. What is my intention? What is my one intention for the next day? And where is it going to fit? And how can I set up those pieces?
And I want to just preface this. So I previously would ask people if they have a consistent morning routine. Mm-hmm. And the thing about that question is, I really believe the morning routine starts the night before. And I just changed this question and you're the first person to answer it. And it was like, it was destined to be because you spoke to that perfectly. Like, to set yourself up for success the next morning, it really does start the night before. And that's true to life in all sorts of areas. So I just want to thank you for killing that. It's perfect.
You're welcome.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Oh, nonfiction, and so much of it. I can rarely delve into fiction because there's just so much juicy nonfiction. So I'm reading Big Magic by, oh my goodness, the woman that wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the other one is a really unsexy title. Let me just see if I can look at it on my Kindle. I'm awful with names and titles, so... It is, I'm gonna half make it up. It's Asperger's in Love, I think is what it's called. So I have people very close to me on the spectrum, and understanding the spectrum and how really, you know, relating to people on the spectrum has really had me not take things personally. It's not about me. It's not personal. So yeah, that reading about that is obviously really helpful in equipping me in that realm as well. So those are the two that are on my docket right now.
I love that. I just love that little snippet. It's not personal. I feel like that could be a really great bumper sticker.
It's really not personal. We get caught up in ourselves. It's not personal.
Oh, yeah, right. Get out of your heads. Have some boundaries and get out of your head. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
So I guess I'll preface that by saying, like, the nutrition piece is absolutely there for me because I just feel like garbage without it. And I've already said a metric for me is that like 2 to 3 times of working out feels great. But if you told me I could only ever do one thing in line with my health, which is totally artificial, but if you made me choose one thing, it's that connection piece. It's that community piece. I could not do any of it without maintaining connection to my community.
Yeah, it's so important. And yes, these questions are ridiculous. It's like, if you were alone on a deserted island by yourself for 3.5 years, what were the two? Right? Like, they're just, anyway. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I think there's a couple of those. So I have my motorcycle license.
That's
cool. That might
be
one thing that not that many people know. But I think the thing that like really jazzes me more from the core than motorcycle is my my pole practice, my fluid feminine movement and pole practice. Yeah, I don't know that many people know that that's what I do, but that's where I tap into. That's one way that I tap into my feeling and my self-expression and my physicality all in one. And it is so freaking fun to feel like you're a bird that can fly upside down and swing and just honor yourself all in that moment while holding space and witnessing it for others. So juicy.
That sounds amazing. And this, you may be just answered this question, but what do you do for fun or play?
That's definitely part of it. Yeah. And then aside from that, I think if there's a day that my family's going to go off and do something, I will almost most certainly pack us a bunch of snacks and take us to the woods somewhere.
Yeah. Like when in doubt, just go into nature, right?
Just dive in.
And last question for you, Destiny, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
You know, I really think that there is a subset of the population that can't help themselves but to be entrepreneurs. The ones that see the problems and see the solutions and just can't be at peace unless they're working at solving them. And that said, I think there's also a large part of the population who can cultivate that for themselves. So identify that there's multiple reasons why you'd want to dive into entrepreneurship. And, you know, for me, it's less that there is an irresistible problem that I must be solving or it doesn't feel good to me, but it's more of this creating the life that I, designing the life that is in resonance with me and in resonance with my family. And therefore, I will learn the things I need to learn to continue to go along that entrepreneurial journey.
Perfect. Perfectly said. Where can people follow up with your work and your dialogue and these incredible ideas that you shared with all of us today?
Mm-hmm. So you can most certainly find us at the Soul Spark Sisterhood. So that's our online handle for Instagram and Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which you're welcome to go over and grab completely for free, the top 5 ways of reducing brain fatigue. And you're most welcome. We'd love to see you in our Soul Spark Sisterhood community. And that's a Facebook group that is really dedicated towards nourishing each other on our Soul Spark journey. So that's where you can find us. And of course, personally at Destiny Spurrell.
Amazing. I love it. We're going to have all of these things hooked up in our show notes. Destiny, thank you so much for sharing your time with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.